Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
I'm off for full.
With
full
your host.
I know, it's almost like I waited.
I hate you. So I'm in the service
James.
Industry. I'm in Jella.
Like elbow deep in food here.
Yep. That's the way, right. That's the way we roll.
Yep.
Here at
ones and twos.
Yeah, basically.
We consume food so you don't have to.
You're welcome.
Probably should also consume
so
food.
So you don't Friends. Have to.
No, don't. No.
Hey, James, what am I drinking?
Bryn and I went to a local place and picked out some ciders that I've never had because I'm desperately searching for one to replace the cider that I can't find anymore.
Aww.
So one of the two is the Keepsake Cidery Heartwood.
Mm.
Heartwood. That's all what right. we've got in our hands here.
All right, well, I'm going to drink this. That's pretty acceptable.
Huh.
I'll drink it. It doesn't excite me, but it's definitely drinkable.
Doesn't give you tingles in your nethers?
No.
Huh.
Does it tingle
it just
your
gives me
streams?
Like pokes in the arm.
Oh.
Maybe it's all the meats and cheeses that I've been eating, but it's real dry.
It is kind of dry, yeah.
It just doesn't have...
So it matches your wit.
Doesn't have any...
That's something.
See.
No, because this exists. Yeah.
Good call.
Mm.
Yeah. So there's that.
And you are going to be nice to him today and just hand things to him, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
So... It's pretty decent, but I don't think it's what I was hoping
it's
for.
It's not exciting.
Yeah.
It's not bad, it's just not exciting.
This reminds me a lot more of a white wine.
Kind of. I mean, it's
like
still
an
it's still
ale.
A cider, but yeah,
yeah,
it's kind of got more of a... Yeah, I can see that. Anyway.
Cool.
So,
it's not terrible. But I was really hoping for something more like a red wine.
Oh, okay. Why didn't you just buy red wine?
We've
I have
got
a,
that.
I have a story.
Uh-huh.
So, Saturday, Joe and I went to Fujiya, because we're sushi addicts.
Right.
And we had a delightful dinner, and then we walked down to Lake Wine and Spirits, where they have, like, that amazing little cheese shop that does me no good, but, you know, it's nice to stand there and smell it. But that also used to be the liquor store where Bill and I would go get booze when we lived over by there. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And many, many, many years ago, Bill went on a gig. And he brought me back a bottle of wine. And I was like, ooh. I saw this and I thought of you. And the name of the wine was Sweet Bitch. Yeah. So I had some, and I enjoyed it quite a bit. They've got a few different types, but Pinot Grigio, white wine. Hmm. And we didn't see anywhere, like, our booze store didn't carry it.
Hmm.
So Bill asked them about that, and then they started carrying it.
Oh.
So, back to Saturday, we go to the booze store, and I have to check. And lo and behold, the sweet bitch is still there.
Oh, shit.
Boom.
So, Joe bought me a bottle of sweet bitch wine, because he's very kind.
Mm.
And, did I buy it? I don't remember. No, he bought it.
Mm-hmm. Either way, he's very kind.
Either way, he's very kind.
Yeah.
He's very good about, this reminds you of your dead ex-husband. Here. Like, I understand that you have feelings. Let me take care of those. It's very sweet.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the booze store, many years after Bill's passing, still carries the booze that they carried because Bill asked about it for me. Aww. So I know, right?
Yeah.
How sweet.
Bitch. Sweet bitch. That's the name of the wine, Sweet Bitch. Okay.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was just, I was reminded of that because conversation.
No, the, hard cider that I used to drink in college because it was the same price as beer, but tasted better and had, I want to say, like three times the alcohol.
Yes.
was called K. It was just a, like a big red letter K on a black bottle. So, of course, angsty young James was like, yeah, this looks like poison.
Yeah.
And, you know, the bottles are actually kind of like weirdly understated and a little classy, but it definitely was appealing to like the edginess, angst and goth. Yeah. So
does the letter K mean something that I'm not aware of?
No, but it was like a blood
red. It was the red on black
letter K on a pitch black bottle. Yeah.
I see. Okay.
But I bought it for a party. I was like, fucking, why not? All right, it's $8. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And then fell in love with it because it's delicious. It's got a cider sweetness to it, but that's the aftertaste. What you get at first is like the dark, smoky red wine flavor.
I thought you were going to say the dark soul.
I mean that too. Yeah. Dark like my heart.
Yeah.
But it's got a really rich, smoky red wine, deep red wine flavor, and then it finishes off with like a sweet apple taste that's not like overpoweringly sugary. It's just sort of perfectly rounded. Yeah. Yeah. They stopped selling it in Minnesota, I think, because of pasteurization, something about that.
Oh.
I miss it.
Love letters to ciders we have known before.
To ciders we have known before.
To all the ciders I've known before.
So I have been searching for a replacement for that for...
This isn't it.
This is not fucking it.
No.
No.
I mean, again, it's not bad. No. It's not great. It's not a replacement for anything.
No, this is dry followed by a white wine.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
And it does have a very crispiny thing to it, which... except that Crispin does it better.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
And if Crispin does it better, then you know it's shit.
Yeah.
Well, like, this has, a weird smokiness to it that Crispin doesn't have, and I appreciate that.
Mm.
But it's just not it.
Yeah.
It's just not it. So.
So, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
But,
hey, Salsa, what have you been up... Oh.
Go ahead.
More? What have you been up to, Salsa?
Stayed home from work today.
Hmm.
My work?
I was about to say, don't you work from home?
Okay.
But I stayed home from work.
Oh.
So you stayed home from home?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, we're on the same page.
My tummy was not happy as mine.
Buddy.
I walked my daughter to the bus stop this morning and wasn't sure if I was going to throw up in the gutter or not. It was just like, Just breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Just breathe.
Oh, God.
And then I got done dropping my daughter off, and I went back to bed for another hour, and then I woke up, and I got my son to daycare, and was still not feeling good, so I was like, well, that's the end of that.
Yeah.
And then I, told my coworkers I wasn't coming in, and went to bed, and I woke up again at, like, 2:30, and had some soup.
Aww.
And then I woke up again at 7.
Wow.
Huh.
Wow. All right.
So that's my day.
I'm glad we could see you in your waking hours.
Yeah, I know, right?
This would be a real awkward... Well...
Of course, this means...
It wouldn't be that awkward. We'd still just podcast around you.
Of course, this means I'm going to be awake until 4 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
I hope you get... Yeah. I hope you get sleep. Yeah. I hope you sleep well.
I hope you
recover soon.
I don't know what it is, but just...
I hope I don't get sick.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bug or anything like that. I just something I ate or something like that.
Okay.
My did you eat a bug?
It's just bloaty and gassy and I don't know. Anyway,
that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does.
So that was.
Did you do a thing this weekend?
What did we do this weekend? I went to a baseball game.
Oh, cool.
Yesterday, on Monday, with some friends, my wife got tickets through work. mm-hmm. and then couldn't go.
Oh.
So I took my kids and some friends of ours who our kids are also friends.
Okay. Took me a moment.
Yep. So the three of them running around and the three of us sat and watched the game.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I can actually tell you who it is too.
Mm. Probably.
Because you said one and not two.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. it was fun. We were way up in the fucking nosebleeds.
Ow.
Like, mm-hmm. holy shit, you could not get much higher, literally, unless you were sitting on the lighting rig. It was, we were really high.
That would be fun.
But, and it was also the lowest scoring baseball game. Like, there was one run scored in the first inning, and then one run scored in the ninth inning, and that was it. Mm. Like, there was five hits on each side total.
Oh, wow.
Like, there was just, wow. It was just nothing. It just, it was a very, very, not much going on game.
Huh.
Which is... Okay, kids were having fun with each other, and that's really the important thing.
You really don't go to a baseball game for the game in general.
No, I certainly don't.
You go for the environment. You go for the hot dogs and the beer. You exactly. go for...
Yeah, you can watch the game on TV.
It's mm-hmm.
Or not.
Yeah. I like going to a baseball game with people.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's just like a thing that's happening over there that you can comment on from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the point of going to a baseball game.
Ignore it as much as you want to.
Yeah. I mean, in all likelihood, it'll still be, like, if you miss 5 minutes, you're fine.
Yeah.
There isn't going to be a really cool tackle. There isn't going to be hockey players beating each other up or diving in and out of people. You're just hitting a fucking ball.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I love and appreciate about baseball, actually. But, yeah.
That's it.
I'm looking forward to seeing a Saints game. I'm hoping the car dealership where I bought my car is offering me tickets to a Saints game, and I'm hoping that I get to go see it with my mom.
Aww.
Because she used to take us to baseball games all the time. Mm. She's a way bigger baseball fan than my dad.
I believe this to be accurate, yeah.
One other thing happened. My daughter started summer school today.
Oh.
Or yesterday, I should say. She started summer school yesterday,
mm-hmm.
which was... So my wife is on summer break, so she's home, until she starts her summer school.
Sure.
But, we get Little Beth on the bus in the morning, and then in the afternoon, she gets dropped off. This is her first time getting dropped off on the bus.
Oh.
Beforehand, she would go to after school, and then we would go and get her and stuff like that. So,
mm-hmm.
So now she's riding the bus home and getting dropped off. So, mm-hmm. We want to make sure we're at the bus stop before the bus gets there,
Yeah.
Right.
Story checks out.
But she gets, so we show up about 10 minutes before the bus is supposed to drop her off in the afternoon. And then time comes, and then time passes.
Mm-hmm.
And then time continues to pass.
Oh, no.
And time continues to pass.
Oh.
And I'm on my lunch break from work at this point, and so after 45 minutes.
Jesus.
Of the bus not being there, I'm like, I have to go back to work. Like, my wife is there. Clearly, mm-hmm. this is, if they do finally show up, we're covered. I wanted to be there for the first day of school, but.
Yeah.
But well, right. At this point. 55 minutes after the bus is supposed to be there, the bus finally gets there.
Shit.
Wow.
It was apparently such a chaotic, like, there were hundreds of kids in this summer program.
Oh,
and
fuck.
Trying to get everybody on the right bus
on
the first day of school was apparently chaos.
Shit.
Okay. It was apparently just an absolute fucking mess, and it took them almost an hour to just sort that out.
Sounds like they could have used a project manager.
Mm. Well, like, when I was dropping my son off yesterday, a friend of mine whose daughters are also in the same program,
mm-hmm.
He actually dropped his daughters off at the school. And he said it's an absolute just chaos there. Mm. Just they have so many kids. Just absolute. He said it was a happy chaos, but it was just apparently that they just have a lot of kids. So,
yeah.
And, you know, today things were way better. You know, they've kind of figured things out, and the kids know where they're supposed to go. And, you know.
Handy. Yeah.
But.
Admirable. All right.
That, yeah, we were just sitting there like, yeah. Huh. So that's what I did.
I went to urgent care.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
That is
that's
exciting.
That's always exciting. So it happened a couple of weeks ago. I was kind of feeling a little out of it, a little not quite. Head kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly I had this sensation inside of my head like my brain was vibrating.
Mm.
Yeah. Like for a minute. My brain was just going like that, but like consistently. Wait, let me try it again. Yeah, I can't do it. Apparently my brain can, though. Yeah, like that. But like...
It sounds like Hypnotoad.
Inside my brain. So that happened for a little bit, and I just went home early, and I was like, this is probably like lack of sleep or something, right?
Sure.
So...
Sure.
And I did. I went home, and I took a nap, and I felt a little bit better afterwards, and I was like, okay. Okay. Yeah, I probably just sleep, and, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So last Wednesday, it happened again.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, hell no. I'm going to urgent care. So I went to urgent care, and actually, Joe brought me. I had messaged from work. I had messaged Joe. I was like, will you bring me to urgent care? And things that I love about my boyfriend, he didn't ask any questions.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't try to ply me with 100 questions while I'm trying to figure my shit out. He was like, of course I can.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I know. Super sweet. I just, things I love about him. Anyway, so, yeah. I think I did say, like, my brain's doing that weird thing again because of cards I told him when it happened the first time, because that was bizarre. So, yeah, I got home, checked in with my daughter, and then Joe got there probably about 2 minutes after I got there, and he drove me over to urgent care, and we sat. We actually, okay, so you know how at urgent care you just sit for forever waiting to get in?
Yeah.
No, when I went to check in, they were like, okay, so what symptoms are you experiencing? And I'm like, my brain's vibrating. And they're like, we're going to triage you right away. I'm like, cool.
Nice.
Apparently vibrating brain is the way to get seen right away. Because that's, what? Yeah, they're like, are you confused or dizzy? I'm like, well, not any more than normally. like I was, my brain was, I was functioning well. I was a little out of focus. Like, I had to kind of force myself to focus a little bit, but I could do it, and that was fine. It was mostly like there were things going on with my brain. So, like, meh. And when you say that, like, you think, like, different memories or thoughts or whatever. I'm like, no, my brain was just very presently in my head. I don't have any other way to describe it. It's just like, raw, I'm here. I guess it's kind of like getting an injury anywhere else, where you're like, I'm having problem concentrating because my knee popped out of its socket. Like, you know, that would be hard to concentrate. So it was like that.
Yeah.
But it was my brain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh.
So yeah, they triaged me right away, and they're like, well, you don't look like you're going to fall over. I'm like, no. I've got pretty good balance. So so I waited, but not nearly as long as I normally have to wait. And
good.
Got a doctor, and she was like, so what's going on? And like, I tried to explain the brain vibrating thing, and that's when she was like, so it's like your brain's going, there, better. And I was like, yeah, actually, that's exactly what's going on in my skull. And she was like, that's weird. I'm like, I agree. She's like,
fair enough.
All right. Well, let's do some tests. I'm going to just, you know, do some checking around. And my blood pressure was fucking perfect. My temp was great. My everything like that. Reaction was fine. My eyes were fine. And yeah, so she did all of those physical things, and she's like, well, she checked for balance. She had mm-hmm. me walk around and like focus on things and everything else.
That's a good idea. Yeah,
I know, right? Well, like balance, like that'll fuck with your head, or your head will fuck with balance, right? Mm-hmm. But that was the thing. My brain was functioning fine, aside from the fact that it was vibrating in my mm-hmm. skull sometimes. Like, it was really weird.
I think there was just a hole in your muffler.
Yeah, probably. So yeah, she was like, okay, I'm going to have you go in for labs. I can't, you seem fine. Like, I know you're not, because what you described to me is not a thing, but like, we're going to send you in for labs. We'll see if there's anything off from there. And she was honest with me. She's like, honestly, we probably won't find anything, and you'll just have to follow up with a primary.
Yeah.
But my job is to make sure you're not going to die right now.
Nice.
So we're going to send you in for some labs.
Hmm.
Now, here's the thing. I have an extreme fear of needles.
Yeah.
So whenever somebody says labs, I'm like, oh, goody. All right. This is going to be great. I normally cry. And I get so scared that like my blood vessels like shrink, because that's what happens when you're afraid, is your blood vessels like shrink up a little bit to help push blood through faster because you're in like a fight or flight kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
Which is not conducive to getting blood.
No.
Plus I apparently have slippery veins.
Oh, my wife's got those too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I went to give birth, it took them 4 tries to get an IV in me.
Fuck.
And I had bruises like that.
Yeah.
Fucking big. Yeah. So, I was like, can I bring my boyfriend? And they're like, yes, you can bring your boyfriend. So, like, this is Joe's first time being with me while I'm getting blood drawn.
Oh.
And I was like, I told him ahead of time as we're getting over there, I'm like, your job is to distract me. Just have pleasant conversation with me. Don't even look at them. Like, this is your duty. He's like, okay, got it.
Mm-hmm.
And I told the nurse that, you know, I'm like, this is the situation. This is, you know, I have slippery veins. My blood vessels close off. And the longer it takes to get the needle in there, the more I'm going to freak out and the more my blood vessels are going to close up. So, like, mm-hmm. you know. Like, all of this. Also, I might cry. I apologize. Like, this is just a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I get in there, and they put me down in this chair that has, like, a... Like, when you go on the roller coasters, and they put the thing down. And, like... And they do that so that you can just put your arm in front of you and have it be comfortable in front of you. But I'm just like... Oh, I'm just here now. Okay, good.
like, I have to look right at this. I don't want this. Yeah.
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 So Joe was off to my left, and I gave her my right arm. And she did the tourniquet thing, whatever, I'm going to cut off all of your circulation, which seems counterintuitive. But the little rubber thing that they put on your arm to make your blood vessel, but it seems counterintuitive. Like, so I'm looking at Joe, and I can feel her wiping the thing, and he makes a face at me, and I'm like, don't make me laugh, because then I'll move. And I can feel it go in, and she got it right like that.
Nice.
Ooh.
Oh, goddamn, it was beautiful. And I think she used the tiniest fucking needle she had, too. Like, the tiny little butterfly needle or whatever it is.
Genocized, yeah.
You'd be surprised what they try to shove in my veins.
Sized for her pleasure.
Technically. Yeah.
All right.
It's not the size that count. No, it's the size that counts. So anyway, and so I'm just having conversation with Joe, and like I'm talking with him, and he's focused on me, and I'm focused on him, and I know like I can separate this out in the back of my head a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Then she's like, "All right, we're done." I'm like, "Fucking really? You went fast." She's like, "Oh yeah. I know what I'm doing." Like, okay then. And Joe's like, got this look on his face like, I really expected worse. Because you don't generally like overstate things. You're usually pretty good about saying what's going to happen. And you didn't cry. You didn't even seem to flinch. Like, it was just like, yeah. So it was probably the best blood draw experience I've ever had.
That's so cute.
Shut up. Anyway, shop. But yeah, and then I peed in a cup. Joe wasn't there for that. And
wasn't making polite conversation to distract you while you were peeing?
No. Huh. Well, no.
Holding your hand.
Oh, God. I don't even... Okay. Anyway. But yeah, all of my lab results came back normal.
Have they met you?
I know, right? I'm like, huh. I think that's the first time anybody's... Like, even medically speaking, like, usually it's like, oh, you got this thing. Nope. Just everything's fine. I'm functioning fine. My brain is just apparently bored in my skull going... Huh. So, yeah. Yeah, that was an exciting, expensive trip to get no answers. I do have an appointment on Friday. It's going to be basically the same thing that I just did, where they're going to rework all of my labs and make sure that no levels have changed and talk through options. One of the possibilities that the urgent care doctor had said was like, well, have you been tense lately? And I'm like, can you define that? And she was like,
on a scale of one to salsa.
She was like, any sore muscles, any whatever. I'm like, I do go in weekly to see a massage therapist because my back is that fucked up. And she's like, oh. I mean, one of the possibilities, I've never heard of it, but like maybe there's a pinched nerve affecting the muscles that are going into your skull area, and that's just how your receptors are translating that. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I can see that. So yeah, I went in when I did go to see my massage therapist on Friday. I was like, okay, so here's the story. And she's like, okay, that's weird. I'm like, I know. But she worked like muscles at the base of my skull that I didn't even know existed.
Ooh.
And it was so amazing. I'm like, oh. So the recommend.
Do you need a towel?
Kind of. It was really good. Like, and it was like there were two little rocks at the base of my skull.
Huh.
So, I mean, she worked that, so maybe it is a muscle nerve thing, like a pinched nerve somewhere, or something that I keep hitting. What the doctor had suggested, if I thought maybe it was worth trying out, was getting a back brace, like a posture and a back brace type thing to kind of help pull my shoulders back and everything else, so... I ordered one of those, and I thought I ordered a large, and, it said much larger than large. So I gave it to James.
Yeah, it turns out, I'm a double XL back brace.
Double XL women's back brace.
Fair. Yeah. Okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah. Honestly, I couldn't tell the difference between the women's and the men's, and it was slightly cheaper to go with the one that I found, so I went with it. I know, usually the pink tax like bumps everything up, but no, this
one's quite comfortable.
Yeah, and it seems like it. So, but I have another one on its way, and I'll probably get that tomorrow. So tomorrow or Thursday. So then I will try. I will be wearing a back brace for a good portion of the day. Doesn't that sound exciting? On the plus side, might help my posture. And maybe it'll help some of my muscle stuff, too. So, I figure it's not going to hurt me to try this for a bit.
Right.
And the plus side, the worst is that nothing happens. The benefits could go from, I just have better posture now, or... fixing muscle things all the way up to and including my brain stops vibrating. So, I figure.
Yeah.
Pretty good
risk. Yeah.
Sure. I felt that was worth investing the like $30.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah. A
couple of different things. For me. So that's what's been going on for you recently?
I mean, that's the most outstanding thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah, you can tell an outstanding story.
Well, I'll start by saying the semifinals for chess have wrapped up.
Yes, I did see those.
We did those this last weekend, and fuck, that was fun.
Yeah, you fought well. Your fight was super good.
Loved that. And I had so much fun during that show, but yeah. Like physically.
Oh yeah.
Fuck.
Yep.
In addition to wrapping up my last week of work and, you know, all of that business, my commute, to work, because I've been taking the bus and, mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff, for my job downtown, because parking is fucking bullshit. I got suckered into paying $33 for 3 hours of parking, I may have mentioned. So, fuck the Mar-10 parking ramp.
Like, all of it?
The whole fucking thing
all right.
can eat a bag of Malort dicks.
Whoa.
Yeah. Malort soaked, marinated.
Small, unsatisfying.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Dicks.
Wow.
Right. So
Damn.
That. And,
Slim Jim.
Yeah. So I've been taking the bus a lot, and while it's relatively convenient and that kind of stuff, it does mean I'm walking an extra, I want to say, 2 to 4 miles every day.
Yeah.
That job came to a close this last week. I was reminded because you said pee into a cup. And I had to do that for my new job.
Yeah, new job.
My new job is kind of a significant upgrade in a lot of ways. And I do feel like I've leveled up. I had my first day of work there today, Tuesday, which meant I had a long weekend, which was hugely beneficial. I spent most of it sleeping and then getting a few things done. But, the semifinals for chess, like, just kicked the absolute shit out of me, and one of the things I did this weekend was to talk to my therapist, and I was like, I really feel like therapy is helping, because I kind of had a breakthrough. I realized that as I was, like, scraping myself out of bed to go do this thing and, like, continue punishing my body, that I was being really encouraging and kind of nice to myself.
I don't understand.
I don't either. I was like, all right, come on, buddy. All right. You know, we're going to do this like 2 more times. Actually, and you're doing really well. And like, we're almost done. And I really like, body, you've been doing a really good job. And thank you. And I'm going to take good care of you. And we're going to do this thing. And like, instead of the usual, like, get up. You fucking
come on,
slob.
You fucker!
Right, basically.
Jesus Christ! What the hell?
I say shit to myself that I would never say to somebody else off the Ville 10 stage.
Yeah.
I didn't. And after the last show, after the Saturday night show, I just kind of spent a moment while I was walking outside, mm-hmm. going to my car, and I was like, "Thank you, body."
Yeah.
I appreciate you, and you really, like, you were there. Good. Thank you. This last weekend closed chess, therapy breakthrough, new job started today, and,
Along the therapy thing.
Yeah.
Actually, at one point had a therapist impressed,
mm-hmm.
With the way that I talked to myself.
Hmm.
And I'm like, I'm just being my own mom. Because I didn't have much of a mom.
Sure.
My mom wasn't super encouraging or things like that, so I kind of ended up becoming my own mom.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I mean, that sounds less impressive, but like, and more sad, but that's still really good. Coping, like, way to figure that out. And I'm like,
it can be impressive and sad.
And sad, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's, so you started talking about the whole, okay, come on, buddy. Yeah. You've been going real good. You've been and I'm just like, God, that sounds like my inner mom.
Your inner
mom.
Monologue?
My inner monologue, yes. Oh my God, yes. I'm going to start promoting the momologue.
Yeah.
That's my right. inner momologue. I love that.
Aw.
That's usually you say this shit and I'm angry, but that one was delightful. So thank you.
it's all been worth it if I can get that one that makes
no.
your life better.
No. I no, mean, it hasn't.
I meant for me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But one of the things that we all did, because, you know, out of the four teams, only two teams in chess are going forward to the finals.
Right.
We all
Which
got together.
Which start this Friday.
Yes, they do.
So excited.
Holy shit. One of the things that we did as, you know, all four teams was to get together and have a party. And of course, we told ourselves, Bryn and I told ourselves, like, one of the great lies, which is like, okay, we're real fucking tired. We're just going to go for a moment.
Just for like an hour.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Wrong.
Liars. Yeah, so we left there at 3, I want to
oh
say,
my God.
Charitably. 3
oh
in the morning.
Oh my God.
After a night Gross. Of drinking and
shenanigans.
Carousing and shenanigans. Yeah.
Wait, so you guys were up until 3 Sunday morning, and then when I got home at like 9:15 Sunday morning, you were cleaning the house.
We got up at 8 to clean the house.
Jesus fuck. I mean, thank you.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Damn.
I mean, it was important. It was, in fact, it was mandatory. We wanted to do that for you. We had promised that we would.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, we love
I just
you.
Hadn't realized exactly how much you had put into doing yeah. that. Like, I had figured you'd gotten home, gotten to bed maybe 1 o'clock, whatever. No.
No, goodness, no.
Like,
no.
Yeah, I was assuming
that's what sensible
one.
People are done.
Okay.
Yeah. No, no. No, we brought tacos to that party.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So so there was that. We just had a really nice time. At some point,
awesome.
We were playing Jackbox games because that's fun.
Yes.
And people began congregating, and we had our first like full house and some audience members for some of the games, where like
okay.
8 people are playing, and then another 2 or 3 or 4 people are playing along as audience
as
members.
As audience? Nice.
Fuck. It was amazing. It was super
That's
fun.
That's super cool.
Yeah, it was yeah. it was kind of a wild time. Small Jake, friend of the
yes.
podcast, Small Jake, and I invented a product that we began vigorously pitching to people. And I'll have to ask them if it's okay for me to discuss it on the podcast, because it's... I mean, we thought it was great.
Okay.
But I want to double check,
no,
you know.
That's fair.
And a bit that you've shared with someone and come up
right.
with together. You want to yeah. make sure. So, yeah. But we fucking amused ourselves and I think a few other people pretty handily that way. So, yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, it was great. And then yesterday I hung out with Andrea Rapella and played video games.
I haven't seen her in forever.
Yeah.
Oh,
which was fantastic.
God, that's delightful.
Just had like a nice evening hanging out with her dog Wicket and and playing video games with Andrea Rapella, and it
nice.
Was good. Yeah.
Awesome.
And first day of work today was good.
Was good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Oh, the campus is so fucking gorgeous. Fuck.
All right, we should gossip about that off the air.
Yeah. Do you think we should take a break?
I think we should.
Seems like a thing.
I would love to
All
take
right.
a break.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
Yep. Hey, everyone.
Oh, that's how that song goes. Y'all ready for this?
Hey, everyone.
Yeah.
Hey, Dr. Nick. Yes.
You should go to our Society 6 store and buy a shirt.
Oh, yes.
Do tell. Go on.
We talked about making a shirt a couple weeks ago.
What?
And I did it.
Wait, we followed through on something? Well, you followed through on something?
I was feeling bored.
I'm shocked by either and both.
All of the above.
Yep.
Yeah.
Go to our Society 6 store, the new shirt. It says on the front, in air quotes, comedy.
Comedy.
On the back, it says Apropos of Nothing Podcast and the website. And on the left sleeve is our little logo.
Yes.
Because I'm classy like that.
I might have to get me one of them.
I definitely am.
Because I'm wearing that to the next day laughing.
Oh, fuck yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, God, yes.
I'm wearing that to every show I do as a comedy duo with Kyle.
Yes.
It's appropriate.
That is very appropriate.
Very appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's a thing. We have a new t-shirt. It says comedy in quotes. Because that's... Yeah. Yeah.
It's...
Yeah.
Apropos.
I see what you did there.
But it's pronounced apropos.
This right here, by the way.
Fucking, all right. Yes.
This right here, by the way, dear listeners, was the comedy.
Oh, God, we're stupid.
Yep.
We are so dumb.
Yeah.
So that's a thing.
Okay. I feel comfortable with that.
Well, I mean, you would.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, what are we doing?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. You just hit a button and...
I talked about the shirt.
This is different than any other time that Salsa's hit the button. Usually we're so well planned
and prepared.
Prepared for shit.
We know exactly
I've been feeling
what's
unwell.
Happening.
Fuck you all.
That's good. Yep, that's a thing. Hey guys. What have you been watching? What have you been reading?
Oh, shit.
Good Omens.
Yes.
Oh, I haven't yet. I'm still trying to finish up Game of Thrones before I start another thing.
Then we will not talk about it.
I've heard so much good. Your face is like a happy badger right now. Fuck. I can't even.
I love it. Okay.
I've been rereading all of my Terry Pratchett books.
Mm-hmm.
Just because they're so good.
Mm.
And they go back fucking 30 years.
Well, I had a conversation with Joe, who didn't actually get into the book Good Omens.
Mm. Oh, really?
Well, because he enjoys Neil Gaiman, and he loved American Gods.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The book. He did not like the TV show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There is actually a little Easter egg in Good Omens. There is, at one point, there's like a security guard you scan in, and he's reading American Gods.
That's delightful.
No shit.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. But yeah, so like, and I was talking with him about it. He's like, I didn't get into Good Omens. And I'm like, well, it was co-written by Terry Pratchett. And he's like, I've never written or read any Terry Pratchett. I'm like, and I said, I believe you mean Sir Terry Pratchett. And he went, this is America. We don't recognize those titles here.
The only time we say sir is before you're making a scene.
I was like, but, I mean, Pratchett is kind of off the wall, and if that's not your thing, then it's not your thing, but I love it. And he's like, Yeah, isn't he kind of like I'm like Douglas Adams?
He's
like,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, only Douglas Adams makes more sense. And he's like, oh.
Huh?
I would argue that overall Douglas Adams has more coherency. One of the difficulties that one of the things that I love and have some concerns over is how hard it is for me to buy into the characters of Terry Pratchett. Just because they do seem so off the wall and it's hard for me to relate to a certain extent.
Sure.
Whereas I feel like Douglas Adams has a lot more, I mean, at least with Dent, like actual human connection.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily feel that with most of Pratchett's characters. That said, I love how the off-the-wall kind of weird way of angling things makes it seem otherworldly. So, like, to that extent, I enjoy it from that angle. But I love the stories, but I don't always feel connected to them. And I think that can be throw people when they're trying to read Pratchett.
I never really thought about it before in that way. And it makes a lot of fucking sense to me right now. Like, a thought is forming. I can tell because it
yeah, hurts. You're making that look on the face. Yeah. The slightly in pain.
Yeah. So, the thought that I've always had is that Terry Pratchett is the Douglas Adams of fantasy.
Okay, sure.
But to me, they've both had this very consistent internal dream-like logic.
Oh yeah, and they have very specific world.
Yeah,
like they sell really well because their world is very consistent within itself.
Terry Pratchett has totally absurd characters in very normal circumstances. It's it's the characters that make the world weird and introduce that dream logic into things.
Right.
Where in Douglas Adams, the characters themselves are actually kind of super fucking normal people, but the situations are completely bonkers.
Yeah.
And the situation is what introduces the dreamlike logic.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
The thing that I really like about Terry Pratchett is how much of a... He's got something to say about political and, and social issues. And he says it in such a way that breaks it down and shows you just how silly it is sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Like...
he's Terry Pratchett is the stand-up comedian of books.
Yeah. He gets to the heart of of monarchies and police brutality and you know, all these other amazing issues and really breaks it down and shows you how fucked up and messed up it is in a way that you're laughing about afterwards.
He's
and
John Oliver.
Very
Yeah, if John Oliver was British. Wait.
Hey.
He just he does. He has this ability to make very hot button issues something that we can read and enjoy and laugh about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate that
power
about him.
Power of satire.
He doesn't really shy away from it. It's just it's written so well and couched in such metaphor that you don't even realize half the time that that's what he's talking about.
Good science fiction and there was some coworkers at a previous job were discussing one of the newer Twilight Zone reboots, and one of them was like, blah, 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 it's fucking SJW bullshit. And, like, immediately I felt the hair on my back, like, my hackles were raised. Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, fucking, all right. But he did actually make a good point. He was like, if you are going to state your opinion or try to convince someone of a belief in fiction, you should do it carefully.
Right.
And you should tell a story that makes your point.
Right.
Instead of writing your point ham-fistedly.
Slapping people in the face with your point.
And then in your story, just, yeah, punishing anyone who disagrees with you because you're the author and you can play God. I haven't seen the new Twilight Zone, so I don't know.
Sure.
But, like, I just got done reading Jingo. And Jingo is about Jingoism. And it's so, like, multiple times throughout the book, these little interactions happen where it's like, you know, our side is industrious and you know, go get them, where those other side, they're thieves, you know, they're trying to take this land, whereas we're trying to, you know, we're industrious, we're trying to colonize the land for ourselves, you know, whereas they're trying to steal the land away, and it's just, like, those sort of things, you know, that kind of idea of, and it's done in such a humorous way that doesn't slap you in the face with it a lot, you know?
Nice.
Like, these interactions happen, and there's no, like, look at the camera, you know, are you getting this? Are you
the
fucking
getting
this?
The moral of the story is, like, the end of the original Star Trek episodes, which all had a Captain Kirk, well, you see, Timmy.
There's just, like, and you know, like, the one will say something, and the other will be like, what? And it'll be like, never mind. And then they just move on. But, you know, various things like that. I really enjoy them. So, but
my favorite examples of current political discourse broken down by Terry Pratchett is the Vimes' boots theory of being rich allows you to get richer, while being poor just makes you poorer. Yep.
Because you can only afford cheap boots.
Yeah.
And because you can only afford cheap boots, you have to replace them frequently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no.
But
absolutely.
Rich people buy one pair of boots that last them their whole life. Yeah, and it's and the way that he breaks it down, it like it's fucking solid.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's something that he and Douglas Adams both do really well. I fucking love it. Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm starting to reread those because we've got a bookshelf full of books, and the thing is we've got books kind of everywhere. Like, I know we have more Terry Pratchett books in our house somewhere.
Yeah.
And the thing is as I'm... I decided, because this is the kind of person I am, I decided to put them all in order and then read them in order.
What order?
Chronological order.
Oh.
Which chronological order?
Of writing.
Okay. Order of release. All right.
Yeah.
That answers the question.
That's not always the same thing.
Fair.
Especially Stephen Bruce. Holy fuck.
Well, no. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very deliberately.
But, so, you know, I'll get three or four books in, and then I'll find a book that I skipped because I couldn't find it earlier. And I'm like, well, do I go back, or do I just bully ahead, or how do I do this? It's goddamn, I love those books. The Watchmen series are just the fucking best.
God.
And the Wizards are good, and the Granny Weatherwax, which is our...
I love Granny Weatherwax.
So good.
Hmm.
So fucking good.
Granny Weatherwax is one of my... Granny Weatherwax, Two Flower, and Carrot are, I think, my three favorite characters.
Carrot's pretty great.
Yeah.
My wife rather hates Rincewind.
Really?
She, just because he's so annoying.
Oh, I find that character one of the easiest ones to put a human quality to, and maybe that's... You know what? Maybe that's because I work in the tech industry, and I've met a few of those.
Maybe so. Vimes is basically the best character ever written.
That's
I don't
that's
disagree
obviously
with
hyperbole.
You, but I want to know your thinking behind.
Vimes is the best.
Oh well, thank you for breaking that down for us at home.
No problem.
Fuck, man. Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm gonna stop trying.
Some things just are, James. Some things just
are, James.
Are. Yes.
James is just James.
See,
I've tried being more, and it's not working.
We have been trying to explain that one, and we certainly
no. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah,
I'll give over.
There is that.
But yeah, that's what I have been consuming is the books of Terry Pratchett because damn it, they're good.
Well, and what's weird is that those are, like, I want to say 300, 400 pages each.
The first ones were shorter.
Yeah.
And then they got longer.
Necessarily.
The first ones were the, like, you know, half-inch wide know, ones that when he was just getting his legs under him. And then they grew to the, you know, inch books that we know and love now.
They seem to take no time at all.
No, you just devour one in an afternoon.
Yeah.
And you're happy about it. Also, just watching the evolution of his writing over the years, because going back, like, you know, going back to the very first book, and seeing, you know, the differences then to when he was starting to slip at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I've been reading.
Yeah.
What about you, James?
I just started watching, because it just appeared on Netflix, I want to say. Last Chance to See. Speaking of Douglas Adams books, probably my favorite book in all of existence is Last Chance to See.
Okay.
It is not a well-known Douglas Adams book, and I'm not trying to be a hipster about it. I found this last after reading everything else that was available by or about Douglas Adams. I found this book. It's maybe 150 pages, but it is his journey with Mark Carwardine through some of the most remote places on Earth, visiting species that are about to go extinct.
Aww.
And so that's what the title of the book is about.
Right.
It is his factual account of their adventure to go see these animals, primarily about the animals and about their situation. Things like, later in life, he became obsessed with gorillas and the North African white rhino.
Okay.
Because he saw them, and because he learned of what they were going through, that they were being hunted for no other reason than just that people had these, like, weird ideas about what eating their horn would do, and that it's...
Make your pecker bigger or something.
That it's destroying something complex and incredibly important and beautiful and irretrievable.
Okay.
Yeah, and so he wrote this amazing book that I have now read, I want to say, a half a dozen times. Not very recently, but...
Sure.
So I would be interested to see, you know, how I feel about it now. But the adventure itself is good, and a lot of the best jokes in it are things that people said to him, which is one of my favorite things.
Aww, okay.
After Douglas's death, his good friend Stephen Fry got together with Mark Carwardine, and the two of them had, like, barely shaken hands ever, I think it was 20 years after his death, Douglas had originally planned, when he was alive, to go with Mark out to go and see how things had changed for the better or for the worse for all of these species, to revisit the Amazon manatee, the white rhino, the, you know, whatever.
Okay, sure.
And in Douglas's stead, Stephen Fry is going with Mark Carwardine to go see it.
Oh, that hit me in the feels.
It's pretty good. Like, Stephen Fry is by no means an intrepid adventurer.
Sure.
He's more of an intepid adventurer. But
a tepid?
It's, it is still beautiful and really, like, in turn, deeply sad, but also in places very encouraging.
Okay.
You know, when they talk about species that have almost recovered or things like that. But
nice.
There's so much there. You get to see how they capture a live rhinoceros, for example, which you can't do while they're asleep. Because you can't move them.
Okay, sure. Yeah. I'm like, why couldn't you? I get it.
Yeah.
I understand.
For the animal safety, they have to knock it out, put it in a situation where when it wakes up, it has no choice but to get into the crate. And then they have to try to crate it while it is awake.
Oh, my God.
And they're not famous for being mildly tempered. No, it's exciting and beautiful, and I enjoyed it. If you're looking for something that you can sort of have on in the background, Or, you know, take a nap next to, and then wake up and be like, oh, well, that's very fascinating. I wholeheartedly recommend this as a series. That's what I've been elbow deep into.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is the one on Netflix, is it both the old ones and the new ones, or is it just the...
Well, it is just the Revisitation.
The Stephen Fry ones?
They okay. talk about the book, they talk about the animals okay. and the visits in the original book. They have some photos, unreleased photos and things like that from Douglas's trip.
So they reference back, but
yeah.
okay.
Yeah. I'm not usually a person who's like, read the fucking book, but...
Read the fucking book?
I am. I'll say it. Read
if
the
you,
fucking book.
Yeah, if you enjoy Douglas Adams, or if you enjoy comedy and have...
I don't.
Even a passing... I know... have even a passing interest in the world, political or biological. It's kind of a good read.
Yeah.
It's quick and the book is cheap and easy to find. So
you're
go
cheap
for it.
And easy to find. Sorry,
you're not wrong.
Kay.
I just wish I was at an equal level of import as this book.
That's fair.
So yeah. and then go see this thing. Go watch this thing, or just watch this thing, and then if it interests you,
read the book.
Yeah.
That was an interesting conversation I had about.
Yeah.
As they are turning books into TV shows, movies, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you read the book before you watch the show? Like recently, like maybe you read it once in the past.
Depends on how well I remember it. Depends on how motivated I am. Depends on how much I care.
Okay.
With the Marvel movies, I haven't.
No.
One, because I don't want to spoil anything for myself.
Well,
two,
you can't
because
read this, all of the source material because there's just way too yeah. much of it.
Well, the movies covers very specific arcs.
Right.
But those arcs are still fucking massive.
Mm. Right.
One.
There's a lot of context.
Two, the movies, one, I don't want to get spoiled on things that they keep true to, and I also don't want to be disappointed in places where they
and
don't adhere.
That's kind of where I go to, too. Like, yeah. for American Gods, like I said, Joe was very unhappy with it, but he reread everything right before watching the show again.
Ah.
And I'm like, oh, I didn't. Do you think maybe that made a difference? Like,
mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't plan on rereading Good Omens before I watch the show. And I know I'm going to be doing that as soon as I'm done with Game of Thrones. But, like,
mm-hmm.
are there... I feel like before I watched 2001 Space Odyssey, I read the book.
Shit.
And I think you have to read the book before you can watch the movie, right?
Hmm.
Like,
one thing I will say about Good Omens is watching the show really helped clarify what was going on in the book. Because, like, you've read the book,
yeah.
Good Omens. Like,
a couple of times.
Once the whole Armageddon starts happening...
Things get a little...
You're bouncing around a lot. Sure. There's he's trying to describe things that are just like, I'm not quite getting...
Spoilers.
What's going on here? And watching the show really kind of helps you go, like, visualize and go, oh, that's what they're talking about. Hmm. I get it now.
And that's what I liked about American Gods, the TV show, is that I was able to see things in a different way. But some of them made more sense to me. I was like, oh, I never actually visualized the vagina devouring thing. Like, and I don't know if that was like a mental block or whatever.
It was... much messier and more terrifying
it
when
was.
I read.
Oh, when you read?
When I read.
Oh, no, not for me. I think when I read it, I kind of cartoonized it in my brain. So when I saw it on the film, I was like, damn, no, that is gross. All right.
In Game of Thrones, there is a very particular fight, and I won't go into it, but it is...
I'm at season 6.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you've seen it.
Okay.
It is... one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Okay.
And I read the book, and when I read the book, I was like, that's fucking terrible. And, you know, like, what's going to happen next? And this character that I admire is really just completely fucked now. And this other character that I admire is gone. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. But then, in the show, it was so much worse. Absolutely every part of it was just grosser and more horrifying.
Was
the
it
situation.
A fight or a trap?
It was a fight.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. And a trial. If that helps.
I'll have to. Yeah. We'll talk about it later.
We'll talk later. Yeah. I still can't scrub that image out of my mind. Yeah. It didn't.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh! I'm like, which trials? Because there's been a few trials. I'm
yeah.
Like, oh, mm-hmm. oh, oh!
I'm being purposely
oh.
vague.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was pretty gross.
Yeah. So, right.
Yeah.
there was another movie. There was, appreciating comedy authors and, you know, that kind of thing. David Wong wrote, John Dies at the End.
Okay.
And it's a book that I really enjoy, and it has that same kind of internal dream logic consistency where on the outside you're like, what the fuck? But then if you're engaged in the story, you're like, oh of course. Like, yeah. Or God, I hope this thing happens with that. And it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like deeply surprising things and really like, yeah, I liked it. I loved that book back when it was in its early versions.
Mm-hmm.
Available for free online, and then when the author scooped it back up, it did a massive amount of editing, clarification, and you know, like added to the book hugely. The book became even better.
Nice.
And then they made a movie out of it, and watching the movie, I was like, if I hadn't read the book, I don't think I would fucking get it at all. I don't think I would understand anything that's happening in this fucking movie because it's missing so much first-person exposition.
Sure.
Even though it has a narrator, it's somehow missing a lot of
I read Fight Club before I saw it.
Oh, sure.
Which is... number one, the movie itself is a fucking walk in the tulips compared to the book. It's pretty awful in that book.
Yeah.
But I understand like the missing the overarching narrative thing. I think the movie did a really good job of including that, of including the narrative and the first person. But I mean they had to. Like there really wasn't any way to do that movie without. But
yeah.
So, like, I can understand how that would be really detrimental to story and what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah.
Fast Five. Today's Fast Five comes to us from Ash Stedham.
Hello, Ash Stedham. No, I'm trying to make
Stedham.
Actually, really cute. When we were at the baseball game yesterday, watching my friend teaching our children how to heckle baseball style.
That's incredible.
Yes.
She taught them. We want a pitcher, not a belly itcher.
Yes.
Wow.
And swing better, and stuff like that. And they were quite amused.
Oh, my God. That's adorable. Okay. Anyway.
So,
question number one.
Oh, no intro. Just going right into it. I love
Le
it.
Le gasp.
I'm not feeling it. Question number one. Cinderella
Bing.
Or Alice in Wonderland?
Cinderella?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like Cinderella, but she chain smokes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's Cigarella.
Cinderella.
Ooh. As opposed to a Cigarello.
Going with Cinderella, personally.
I bet she smells like tobacco and vanilla.
Which one do I remember first from my childhood? I'm going to say Alice in Wonderland.
Cinderella was a big deal, and I liked...
Which one do I connect to more? Cinderella. But... But yeah, I remember Alice in Wonderland first, and I feel like I was more into Alice in Wonderland. And maybe part of that is because I was like, yeah, that's Cinderella, that's just life. I don't understand. Why is this a movie? I don't get it.
Because talking mice?
You didn't have talking mice?
That's the weird part?
I've said too much.
Spoilers.
Oh, man. I thought you grew up on a farm. I'm going to say Alice in Wonderland. My sister and I were fans of both, but Alice in Wonderland was like...
Mm-hmm.
That was a big fucking deal for us. Also, the Jabberwocky terrified me as a child.
Question number two. Cylinder or square? This is interesting, because cylinder is three-dimensional and square is two-dimensional.
Yeah. That may or may not be something to be read into.
Would I rather walk across, like, a plaza, a square, or would I rather take the tube, a cylinder? I like a train. I like an underground train.
Sex with your mom? Okay, anyway. One of Jess's villain salts just popped to mind.
I think I'm going to go cylinder on this one.
I have foodstuffs in my head, like a can of soup.
Oh,
or
I should have. I'm sorry. Sorry, I should have said the subject line is workplace shenanigans.
Yeah, you should have.
That's why I was asking.
What the fuck?
I've been feeling unwell.
I know,
but I'm still gonna
you
give a shit.
Do this. Go ahead.
Who are we if not your friends that harass you? Okay.
No, we are the friends that harass you. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, oh, right. There is no if not. We just are those people.
Yeah. All right.
I'm going to go cylinder.
Yeah?
Yeah. For no reason, really.
Maybe it's like a slice of cheese or a hot dog.
Do you communicate?
Case,
still
cheese.
Hot dog.
Yeah.
Do you communicate through a series of tubes or on paper?
Oh. That's real good. Series of tubes. Huh. Still cylinder.
Cylinder.
Question number three. Cyclone of death.
Ooh.
Okay.
Or pointy explosion.
Pointy explosion! I don't even, I don't need context. Pointy explosion. I like pointy explosion.
Cyclone of death sounds like a much better fair ride.
Oh, yeah.
Cyclone of death makes me think of a whirlwind of blades. Whereas pointy explosion makes me think of a gun.
Oh.
They both make me think of Claymore mines.
Pointy explosion, I feel like that's the more focused energy type thing as opposed to a cyclone of death, which is more like all over the place. And that's, I can be, but.
I kind of like pointy explosion myself.
Well, pointy explosion is like those anti tank javelins. Okay.
What the fuck?
They invented anti-tank javelins.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of fucking wild.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Question number four. For the guys, hepatitis C or HIV? Jenna, since you have dealt with hepatitis, swan or honey badger?
Honey badger don't give a fuck.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Hep C, I think.
Okay, so wait, it was... The choices were...
Hep C or HIV? No, yeah. HIV, because it's not HIV, it's full-blown clown AIDS.
God damn it.
See, regular HIV, you can transfer if you don't wear a balloon.
Then what's the point?
Full-blown clown AIDS.
Not CHIV, like, but full-blown clown
what
AIDS.
What are you talking about with Hep C? Wait a minute. Are you passing false information?
No. No, HIV.
Yeah? What about it?
That is one of the STDs that does not pass through latex.
Hepatitis C doesn't either.
No, I know, but clown AIDS.
Oh! Oh, right. Yeah, because balloon animals. Yes.
Because balloon animals.
Right. No, I understand. Okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
In fact, I think you get it from having sex with balloon animals.
Yes.
James was trying to be funny, and it failed.
Wah, wah.
Welcome to the podcast. How long have you been on it?
About nine years.
Yeah.
Longer than either of us?
Right.
Jesus Christ, nine. Oh, fuck, that is accurate, isn't it?
Mm. Some pushing.
God, we're old.
Mm. It'll be, nine years in the fall.
All right.
So yeah. I'm gonna go with Hep C.
Honey badger. I don't even remember the other option. Just honey
Swan.
Badger. Honey badger.
All
right. That was one of my scrum team names.
I'm not sure why, but like hepatitis sounds like a Greek hero.
Like Hephaestus.
Very much so.
Yeah, I'm just gonna tell people I have.
Hephaestus, yeah.
Yeah.
Question number five.
Yeah.
Up or down?
Up. Because that had some of the saddest moments in any Pixar movie.
Fucking true.
As opposed to down, which had some really uplifting moments in
that Pixar movie. That should be the sequel to Up.
Mm.
Huh.
Anyway.
And whereas Up was super depressing, Down will just be uplifting the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with Up.
Up is what Up is when you watch the movie forward. Down is when you watch it backward.
Oh, God.
Which does get happier. In a way. So, like, are you up for something or are you down for it?
Oh shit.
And I'm trying to think if I say, oh, yeah, I'm down.
I'm
up for that. I think I would say I'm up for that.
I'd say I'm up for that or I'd be down for that.
Oh, I do say I'd be down for that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Right? Fuck. Okay.
That's a good question. I'm going to say down.
All right.
I'm going to say up.
Yeah. I enjoy going downstairs a lot more than going upstairs.
I thought you were just going to stop it down.
All right.
I mean,
let's find out what the answers
ladies.
Are.
Ladies.
Fuck. I'm glad I was not drinking at that exact moment.
I'm sad, but continue.
Question number one, Cinderella or Alice in Wonderland?
Okay.
Yeah.
Which would you be more interested in? Which would be a more interesting conversation to walk in on?
Oh, Alice in Wonderland. Oh, there's more.
Cinderella dicks, in which a bunch of females are discussing the idea that there is a mythical dick for every gal that is the perfect fit.
Oh.
Okay.
Or a bunch of guys talking about scrotox, Botox for their balls to remove wrinkles and make them lighter. I think what? Which would be more interesting? I think I would go with scrotox.
I think so, too. Like, that sounds like it's got more medical configuration.
It's got something you can sink your teeth into.
I really don't sink your teeth into that.
I really don't
want to talk to anybody. I don't even want to talk to you guys about scrotox, and it's a question I have to answer. So, I'm going to say glass slipper.
I feel like the Cinderella dick thing is an actual problem in society where people the idea that there's one person for every
vagina. Yeah,
I don't like it.
And neither do I.
I don't like that idea.
I would never get scrotox, but I would find it an interesting conversation.
I would find
to watch
that
in, walk
interesting
in
to hear about, like, if there's medical stuff behind it or if there's. I mean, why is kind of a question in my brain.
I mean, maybe it keeps them from dropping in the water.
I could see it like if you like to shave, to be a little wrinkly free down there, that might be handy.
And if you're doing it right, you pull the skin taut.
Well, obviously, but it's still kind of, I don't know, I've only shaved around my labia, so you pull that tight, there's still a lot of
stuff there. You iron it first, right?
Oh, God. Ha, 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 ha. Oh.
It was worth it for Salsa's look, and I'm sorry that it was as distressing.
Question number two.
Yeah?
Cylinder or square?
Okay.
Hey.
Which do you think would be more destructive when causing a hole through a wall? An air tank that was knocked over and the air valve damaged, causing it to go through a cylinder block wall, or a mass spectrometer, think a giant oven, the back exploding and taking out a section of wall. Both were impressive, and I'm still not sure which was more destructive. No one was hurt in either.
Huh.
I think which would do more destruction would be the square.
I mean, for how physics works, I would guess the square. If nothing else, the shape that it would leave in the wall.
I think the cylinder would just go through the wall and leave a hole, but it wouldn't cause a lot of destruction.
Right.
Whereas I think the other one would be more...
I mean, size and everything being equal.
Yeah.
Obviously. I would assume the square just because of it shapes and physics.
But the cylinder is powered continuously, rocket style, where the square is the back of something.
Yeah, but once you're through the wall, you're through the wall.
Once you're through the wall, you're through the wall. Yeah.
Right.
But
unless that point is moving along the wall, in which case you're super fucked. But I'm saying like... I'm guessing once you're through the wall, you're through the wall, and if it's just pointed in one direction, and I'm taking it for the this isn't, you know, we're not doing graffiti with this stuff or anything.
No,
we're not
trying
to write our names in the wall. It's just
I was thinking that the cylinder would continue through multiple walls, potentially.
But even then it would still just be a hole.
Yeah.
I guess.
I feel like the square, even if it's just one wall, and I feel like we can only look at the one wall. Really.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, based on the structure of the question, I think so.
Based on the structure of the question,
I have to go with square.
Wall, and I think the square is it.
You've got me convinced.
All right.
Physics.
Question number three.
Science.
Cyclone Science of rules. Death.
Okay.
Or pointy explosion. Which would be more of an oh shit moment for you? An old 70s blender with faulty wiring that has caused a mixture of spinach and ethanol to cap... This is oddly specific.
Wow.
That has caused a mixture of spinach and ethanol to catch on fire, and there is no top. There is a flaming cyclone of fire being jetted up. Or someone mixing chemicals that had no business being made in a 5-liter beaker. Result is glass stuck in the wall and a new hole in the floor from the acid.
Oh, shit.
Again, no one was hurt.
What?
There's
See?
A
okay.
No, there's oddly specific.
It's not oddly if we need
some.
Yeah, can we get some follow-up?
I need... Yeah, I'm going to need some follow-up.
I might
on
need
this.
A little bit.
I'm sorry. We can't let this go.
Please send an email to us with... Follow-up.
What the fuck?
just the subject line, follow-up.
I think the more oh shit for me might be the
I think
cyclone of death, I think. Because the pointy explosion just, boom, it happens, and then it's kind of
say,
done.
Yeah.
That's whereas, possible, yeah.
Whereas you've just a cyclone of fire, it just keeps going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's the spinach that gets me.
I know that, right? Right?
Burning
just
spinach.
Just the weird
like,
detail.
I know about burning chemicals, like, whatever, like, but spinach?
That almost sounds like vegetarian napalm or something.
Just like
vegan napalm is... vegan napalm is my punk band.
Okay, yeah, I was getting there. I'm getting there.
Okay, side note. Okay, here we go. No,
how dare you?
No. In your head canon.
Okay.
In your head canon. Did he have spinach in the blender and went, I'm going to add ethanol? Or did they start with the ethanol and go, I'm going to put in some spinach?
It's spinach to ethanol. Like, straight up, that's what they're doing. Nobody's like, huh, ethanol, I wonder how I can calm this down.
I'm going to say this was like a controlled experiment designed to create some kind of a long burning fuel.
And spinach. Because Popeye.
Sure.
Okay. I'm gonna stick with my Cyclone of Death answer on that.
I might have to switch to Cyclone of Death.
Yeah, because like after the beaker explodes or the flask explodes and there's a hole in the floor, you're like, oh fuck, holy shit, that just happened, and everybody's alive, and oh thank God.
Flaming cyclone of
right,
fire,
right? With this thing just erupting flame and spinach everywhere, I think.
And Spinach is my new Led Zeppelin album.
Album? Concept album.
Yeah. Green Jello cover band.
Flaming Spinach.
So, yeah. Yeah, no, I think I'm going to go with that, yeah.
Okay.
Jenna? Did you go?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. Yeah. All right.
Question number four. For the guys, Hep C or HIV? Jenna, since you have dealt with hepatitis, swan, or honey badger. Guys, which would cause more panic if you were working with body fluids and accidentally injected / slashed yourself? Again, has happened in the lab, but ended up well every time for everyone it has happened too. There's a lot of fucking stories. Jenna, if you were being attacked and has a sword, which animal would you be more confident in defeating? A swan or a honey badger? I think HIV for me. I think HIV has a more visceral, like,
gut level reaction.
I mean, there have been really big marches and things like that, and stories
exactly
on HIV, so I can understand that.
It doesn't conjure up the same amount of terror.
For me, because I was exposed to Hep C and built an immunity to it, I don't think that's quite what it is, but it's essentially the same thing. I'd be like, oh, well, all right then.
Exactly. I feel like Hep is more blasé.
And it's, I don't know, because I feel like hepatitis, and this is an experience thing, you can control that a little bit. You can decide how much you're exposing your liver to at any given point in time. You can try to help it along. Obviously, I don't. But, you know, like, that's... And there is the possibility of just carrying it forever, not having anything really hit you or happen to you with it.
Yeah.
HIV, that's going to hit at some point. Yeah. And it's really hard to protect yourself against everything.
Yeah.
You know, like at least
when it turns,
if nothing else, you have more of a feeling of control, whether it's actual or not.
I agree.
I still don't know which animal I'd fight.
More confident in defeating. The thing is that if you have a sword, personally, I would go up against a swan.
I'm thinking that because one good slash to the neck and you're fucking done.
Yeah.
On the flip
badger
side,
just gonna keep coming.
Yeah, the honey badger is going to keep coming.
Flaps of skin hanging off.
But there's also, like, I feel like I'm kind of nervous about flappity stuff. And if a swan's flapping at me, I'm like, ah!
Right, yeah, no, that makes sense.
And that's that is more of a me personally thing, I think. I feel like, in theory, the swan is the easy answer. In actuality,
I think it might depend on the sword you've got, too.
Mm.
Whether you have a slashing or a stabbing sword.
That's accurate.
Oh.
Yeah, because slashing definitely swan.
But if you had a stabbing, I think
honey badger would be easier. Yeah, that's real true. All right, well, we're going to say I'm fighting with my favorite sword, which is my scimitar.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going up against the swan.
Yeah, just fucking behead it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what a scimitar is made for, so let's do that shit. Yep.
Beheading swans.
True.
It's my memoir.
Beheading swans, the Jenna Young story.
Yes.
Question number five. Up or down, do you prefer sitting at a desk with the opportunity to get up and stretch your legs, or a standing desk that lets you adjust at will? Fuck standing desks. I'm going to go down. That's me personally.
Wait, yeah, I'm not sure which is which.
Just do you prefer a sitting desk or a standing desk?
I have a desk that does both, so I don't understand. Yeah.
But do you prefer sitting or standing?
Sitting, probably. Yeah, I'm lazy.
I prefer standing with the option to get up and go walk around, because
Standing with the option to get up.
Sorry, sitting.
There we go.
With the option to stand up and go walk around. Especially to like leave my desk. When I'm standing, I'm not as focused on the work that I'm doing, I find. Because I'm also partially focused on my knees and back and feet. Even if it is like physically better for me, mentally I'm more focused when I'm sitting.
I do, because I do have the up-down desk where I can fucking do whatever. In the morning, I stand for a little bit while I'm stretching at my desk. So I'll do some like leg stretches. I don't have it quite up to standing level. I have it a little lower, so I can do some like leaning into my desk.
Sitting and level for everybody else. Mm-hmm.
And then I sit. Accurate. Stop being accurate, James. Then I'll sit for a while. And then after lunch, I stand for a little bit. Just because that helps me maintain focus after lunch. If I sit, I'm going to pass out. So they frown on that at work. They don't like you sleeping on the company time for some reason. So I know, right? But yeah, now you all know about my standing sitting day at work.
I feel like that's a good answer. Yeah.
All right. If you would like to send in a fast five, send two emails to salsa@a1podcast.com. The first one should contain nothing but the choices, and the second one, repeat those choices and then give us the context.
So we know who is right.
And who is dead.
That.
And Ash, we definitely want those lab stories.
Oh, no. We fucking
please,
want.
Please.
Yeah.
Please send us stories. And that you can, you know, within confidence legal, and legal.
Feel free to redact stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. Go ahead and name me. That's fine.
We need some details. Maybe we'll read them aloud on the podcast if you give us your permission.
Yeah.
Who's got a shout out?
I have to do a shout out to Joe, and I already told you guys about this, but he took me to urgent care, and he was really good to me. And he is, and there's been some like emotional stuff too lately, and he's been really good about everything, and he's just really good to me and nice, and he listens and. And he takes care of me, and I like him a lot. The end.
Aww.
Okay, shut up. Go. Somebody
shout
else
out,
go.
Shout out to my sister.
Yeah.
I love my sister. She's great, and she helped raise me, and was one of my first best friends. And I got to spend time with her recently and hang out, and we went to go see Aladdin, which was one of our favorite movies when we were kids.
Nice.
We saw the new one, and however much I enjoyed it, which was actually kind of a lot, I definitely enjoyed it more because I got to see it with her. So, yeah.
I'm going to give a shout out to my wife. She took care of me today. Thank you.
Aww.
Who's got something to plug?
This Friday... at I don't remember the name of the church, but at a church in Minneapolis. Just start going to church, you guys.
Shit.
No, Human Combat Chess Finals.
Bum, bum, bum.
The semifinals are done, and the finals are taking place over the course of the next couple weekends. Look up Human Combat Chess 2019 or Six Elements Theater, and go find more information on that. My daughter's in it, and I'm super excited. That's it.
James?
I've got a show coming up, I believe. I'm now looking for more information on it, and...
The one this Sunday?
Yes.
The Fearless Presents?
I believe so.
Dad Jokes?
Yes.
This Sunday at, I believe, Strike Theater at 7?
Yes, that sounds right.
I think that's accurate.
Yeah. It's.
I mean, if you don't already follow Fearless Presents on Facebook, you should probably just do that.
Yeah.
So that you'll get all of the information on the Fearless Presents stuff. It is different stuff every month, curated by Mr. Duck Washington.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this Sunday is Dad Jokes. And apparently James will be there.
I am given to believe that I will be involved with that show.
All right.
High funny, I'm dad, ultimate dad joke competition.
I did recommend a part I could play in that show, which was to stand in the corner and tell people to get out.
Booing at people?
No, I'm not going to boo.
Just tell them to get out.
Just, yeah. James, get out. Just that. That's
the,
it.
The human shepherd's hook?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's my superhero. It's...
I appreciate
vigilante
this.
Vigilante.
Yeah, yeah.
Shepherd's hook. Okay.
All right. Anything else?
Vilification tennis in 2 weeks. 28th. Vilification tennis goes on vacation.
Yeah.
I believe I'm in that. I should probably double check.
Oh.
Oh?
Also, this month's Double Blind Improv.
Yes!
Go fucking see it.
Yeah. It's pretty gay, you guys.
Super gay.
Super gay.
I'm looking forward to it.
I am as well.
Yeah.
Also, I get to go to Double Blind this month with Joe and just aww, watch. He's not gay enough for the show this month.
Hmm.
I mean, Fearless in and of themselves is just good about being open about diversity things in general.
Yeah.
But because of Pride this month, not necessarily broadcast, just is gay. Yeah. Just LGBT peoples, and it's going to be amazing. So. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the lineup for the show, and it
looks... Oh, my God.
Fucking great.
I love Jada. She's
yes,
wonderful. I'm super happy about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I love everybody in that cast, but also yeah, Jada. Like, I don't get to see her enough, so.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Anyway.
All right, is that it?
Salsa.
All right. That's another week for us, I guess, then.
Your enthusiasm is infectious.
Yep, I've been fucking sick, in case you hadn't heard.
He is infectious.
Yeah.
On behalf of myself and Jenna and James, thank you so much for listening. Eat the fucking cake.
I love you. Bye. Bye.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.